In case you're wondering, the fruit came first. Then centuries later, the color word for what had previously been called reddish yellow, came about. It only makes sense that an artist would be standing here today to speak about the fruit of the Spirit that is represented by fruit that has color, a color name. At this point, do I have a helper amidst us anywhere? Maybe someone who wants to help? Let's see. Yes, Jane. Very good. All right. So this is very important. One orange per row.
Per pew.
Not per pew. Not per person. Not per person. So every pew gets one orange, not every person.
Okay.
It's very important. I know. I'm sorry for you, Ted, that you get your own orange. I apologize. Apologize up front. All right. Don't anybody eat it yet, okay? All right. We got our object lesson. Now, if you're sitting far apart from people on the pew, you might have to scoot a little closer. All right. So look at that peel. We're not going to open it yet, but let's take... Look at that color. We're going to take our thumbnail. We're just going to, like, scratch it. What do you smell when you scratch it? When you scratch the peel... Oh, no projectiles, please. No projectiles. It's a rule. No projectiles. The peel sprays a tangy, citrus-scented oil into the air. It's a chemical compound called an ester, which is where we get the word zest. What if you took a bite of the peel alone? Ugh. You all know that. Yeah, just by itself with nothing, no sugar added, not so good. We probably tried it when we were a kid, and that's why we know. We were like, because it smells so good. But what does it remind you of, that smell? What does it remind you of? What does it prepare you for? What's inside? It's your attachment to the juice, the scrumptious fruit. As a matter of fact, this delicious connection can cause your mouth to water in expectation. We expect to enjoy the fruit. Smells can transport us. Orange oils are so popular, they can be used in flavorings such as these orange slices, gumdrops. Or they can be used in cleaners. And in fragrances. I'm wearing Clinique Happy today. It comes in an orange box and it has orange oil in it. And they named it Happy. And there's a diffuser in the hallway that has orange oil and bergamot too. I don't know why they go together. So that you felt uplifted when you came in. So it's just the aroma. We're not even talking about eating it yet. It decreases stress and anxiety and boosts our energy. The name of that diffuser oil is called Cheer Up Buttercup. Aromatherapy is cheering and rejuvenating and stimulating. Even the sight of the color orange can bring about a strong response. Frank Sinatra said, "Orange is the happiest color. Orange is bright and joyful, reminding us of bright sunsets and excitement, enthusiasm, and warmth. Orange traffic cones can alert us to take care. We pay attention. The color orange can increase your energy level, even stimulate your thyroid to boost metabolism." Don't go crazy, just one. And all of that before you even take the first bite. But when you do, the flavor of the orange is so sweet. And eating an orange a day with fiber, vitamins B6, vitamin A, vitamin C, calcium, and potassium will also boost your immune system, protect your cells, cause better wound healing and oral health, cleaner skin, and better vision. But Miss Elaine, we are in church. How is this spiritual? Orange is just our little fruit metaphor for joy. Yes, joy. Guess what? Joy boosts our immune system, fights stress, and improves our chances of living a longer life. And God knows this very well, as God is our maker and made us to receive God's love. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine." God made our neural network and blesses good connections. Smiling relaxes facial muscles and calms the nervous system. With the fruit, the connection between sight and smell and the sweet flavor brings a hopeful expectation. The hopeful expectation is in between our first sniff and our first taste. We know this orange will taste good because it has before, and it will again. A hopeful expectation of a future good based on a past good is both how we know love, experience joy in the here and now, and how our faith grows. Psalms 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Joy is the perpetual gladness of the heart that comes from knowing, experiencing, and trusting Jesus." Psalms 126 says, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." Psalm 16:11 says, "In God's presence there is fullness of joy." And Philippians 4, which Glee just read, encourages us to rejoice in the Lord always, because the Lord is near. Gratefully, we can talk to God at all times, even in troubling circumstances. We can bring our concerns to God, and then we have inner joy, even at the same time as outer sadness. We joy at God's gift of peace in our heart and mind, that God is present with us. God is with us. Miss Elaine, that's easy for you to say. Maybe your disposition is genetic, or maybe my circumstances are worse. First, it is not authentic to pretend to be happy. God doesn't want Stepford children. Being sad is not bad. And joy is more than a temporary happiness. Joy is lasting and based in more than simply an emotional reaction to our circumstances. So, how do we become the joyful people God created us to be? The strongest motive in the human brain is attachment. It is who we love that forms our inner self, where joy resides. Our first connection was a nurturing connection. We got our food first. And then that nurturing expanded to more than just food. This is the nurturing connection of a parent and child. Or think about your pets. Everybody in the family knows whoever feeds the pet is going to be the pet's favorite. Even advertising knows very well how to appeal to our emotional attachments. What is feeding you? When you think about the snake offering the fruit, it's really about who's feeding you. Well, how do we glue ourselves to God and receive the love that God is feeding us? In Isaiah 49, God says that even though a nursing mother with the growing pain of what she has to offer, may still forget the baby and have no compassion on the child she has born. God will not forget you. Psalms 23:5 says, God prepares a sitting down meal in the presence of your enemies. God's chesed love is permanent with us, will never let us go, is full of loving kindness and good things, is the source of love. I know this. Many of you know this. If you don't know this, borrow that from those who do. Joy is about our inner self. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and not just a one-time boost. Jesus enjoyed meeting people. Jesus continually ate with people, breaking bread and distributing fishes before the Last Supper when he said, "Remember." Our attachment to God can start with eating together and grow in our remembering of what God has done as we experience God together. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, as Romans 14:17 says. God is near. Joy is a lasting emotion that comes from the choice to trust that God will fulfill his promises. God is glad to see you today. God doesn't just love you. God enjoys you. We have a God who loves more than we can even imagine. And his joy in us is contagious.
We had to sing "I've Got the Joy, Joy, Joy" because my message title today is "I've Got the Joy, 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 Joy Down in My Orange." I'm glad there was one extra orange left, because otherwise I'd have to steal one of yours. But that's good, so we have plenty of oranges. So, we have, you know, Miss Elena's already talked about that we have gathered oranges for so many reasons, for all of the smell and the sight and all of these things. And so I want to talk a little bit about what joy means and why do we need joy? What good is joy? Well, one is, joy is just a gift from God, a gift that we can experience, a gift that we should experience. It is something that God wants to experience. It is found in the Psalms, in the prophets, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. At all times, there is this invitation for us to experience joy. And even in the book of Acts, which Paul writes from to this letter of Philippians, even in this book of Acts, the apostles are experiencing tremendous persecution, tremendous hardship. Even before it was something where there were people coming after them to stop them, there was still a really steep hill to climb just to get people to listen to them about this person named Jesus. But even though they were facing all of these challenges, they still had joy. And they still talk about the experiences that they have with joy. And so today we're talking about, how do we cultivate joy? What are the things that we need to do to cultivate joy? Now remember, as we were talking about these fruits of the Spirit, we're not talking about them as like abstract ideas that we can sort of talk about and ruminate and philosophize. Sure. Well, philosophize. That's what I said. Close enough. We're talking about them as action words. These are actions. And so we are not just having joy or thinking about joy. We are cultivating joy. So what are the seeds that we can plant to cultivate joy? Now the first seed that we can plant is hope. And hope is what keeps these disciples joyful. It's not just an abstract idea to them. They are hoping for something that they know is on the horizon. They have hope because they know that they are part of something that is bigger than themselves. That they are part of a message. They are part of a kingdom. They are part of something so great that they cannot help but feel the joy that they have from it. And so as they hope for this future and they make this future present in their lives, this hope brings about joy. And so as Miss Elaine alluded to, what we have in this orange, when we smell that rime, when we feel that orange oil on our hands, we have the hope of something bigger, something greater that lies beneath. So now I'm going to invite you to kind of tear open your orange, and hopefully you all have napkins. If you don't, I have some more up here. Peel it open. It doesn't have to be perfect, but just kind of peel it open so that you can see that you can see that the hope revealed in the fruit that is on the inside. Now the second seed that, don't eat it yet, the second seed that cultivates joy is sharing. Sharing and togetherness. As Miss Elaine was talking about, the bonds that we form with one another. When right after this verse that Glee read, that Paul is talking to the Philippians, he starts talking about his own life and how even though he is facing real hardship, he still has joy because he knows that he is part of this mission that God and that this person of Jesus has sent him on. And he is part of something that fills him with joy even amidst his persecution. And he tells them this because he wants to share his own experience. He wants to share of himself. Because it's when we share of ourselves that we are most closely bonded to one another. When we talk to one another, we can talk with small talk and how is the weather, how is this, all good. But it's when we talk about our deepest fears, our deepest questions, our deepest loves that we really bond to one another. And it is when we share of ourselves and share of what we have that we grow close to one another. So, I'm going to invite you to share your orange with someone around you. And share a napkin if someone needs a napkin. But share your orange with people in front of you, behind you, to the side of you. Anyone who needs a little slice of orange. Maybe someone who has a hard time opening their orange. You can help them and share an orange with them. But don't eat it yet. All right, so our third seed is practice. Practice. Now, this might seem like kind of watering the first two seeds, and maybe it is, but practice is we cultivate joy by practicing joy. We cultivate joy by rejoicing. We cultivate joy by acting with joy. I'm going to share a little bit of therapy talk with you for a second here. So, And I've taken some DBT training, which stands for Dialectical Behavioral Therapy. It's kind of a mindfulness therapy. But one of the ways that they talk about, one of the things that this kind of therapy does is build positive emotions. And they don't talk about building emotions for today. They talk about building long-term positive emotions. And one of the ways that they do that is something which they call building mastery. Building mastery. And what that is simply is finding something you love and getting better at it. Finding something that gives you passion. Finding something that gives you joy. And then practicing it. So if that is building canoes, then practice building canoes and practice building better canoes. If it is cooking, if it is gardening, if it is reading, find something and practice it. Every day, find one thing that is an accomplishable task to do and set it out and then do it. And for these kinds of things, then every day it asks you, okay, well, if you completed that task yesterday, today set out a task that's a little bit more challenging and try to complete that. And then set it a little bit more challenging and eventually, as you build mastery, these things build joy. The first thing that they'll tell you to do is if you're feeling sad, if you're not feeling kind of down in the dumps, they say, well, what do you love doing? Well, go and try to do that. And try to do it better than you did it the last time. Try to build on something. Set a goal and try to accomplish it. Now, if you set a goal that's too hard and you can never reach it, you know, like you say, well, I'm going to go off the diving board and do 3 flips. Which Brian told me to do at the pool the other day. So, can you do that? Like a bunch of flips? These kids that are doing these flips, they're like 18. I said, no, I cannot do the flip. I can go up and then go back down into the water. That's what I can do. So if you set a goal that's too hard, it's going to frustrate you. So set a goal that's accomplishable, but something that's challenging. And the goal might just be, try to find something that brings you joy. Try to find something that brings you joy. And then set out and do it. And then the next day, do it a little bit more. Do it a little bit more. Do it for a little bit longer of a time. And so one of the things that I like to do, that I do for joyfulness and building mastery, is eating things mindfully. And that is the sense of when you eat something, enjoy it. Oftentimes I will be eating in order to finish eating. How many of you ever eat just to finish eating? How many of you eat while reading, watching television? Well, one of the things I like to do is, especially if I find something that I really love, I'll just sit with it, and I'll look at it, and I'll smell it, and I'll eat it, and really focus on enjoying that moment, enjoying that time. So I'm going to invite you to take a little piece of orange, and smell it, and then as you eat it, really focus on what it tastes like, what it feels like. You all haven't been talking this whole time, so this is very refreshing for my dry mouth. So now I'm going to ask you to take out your paper orange. And as we think about these seeds of hope, of sharing, and of practice, cultivating these things kind of joy, where do we find hope? How do we share with one another? What things can we practice? I'm going to invite you to write down something that you will plant to cultivate joy. Something that you will plant to cultivate joy. So what does that mean? Well, let's look back at these things. So it could be a place that you are finding hope. Someone to share something with that brings you joy. What will you share with them? Or what will you practice? What kind of practice will you take up? What is something that you will do and practice that will bring you joy? So one of these things, where you find hope, where you find connection that you can share, or what you would like to practice. Just pick one of those things. And just write down one seed you will plant to cultivate joy this week. One thing that you will do to cultivate joy. And again, for the people who are on Facebook, you can just write it in the comments and we'll transfer it to a fruit for you. One way that you can cultivate joy this week. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the joy that you have given to us. We are thankful for the joy of blessing that you have bestowed upon us. We are thankful for this time where we can share in joy. That when we share in joy, we don't decrease our own joy, but multiply it in this place. Lord, we pray as we receive the tithes and the offerings this morning that they will be given in joy with the intention to spread joy. And that joy will be multiplied in this place and that your joy will be made complete in us so that we might be a beacon of welcome and joy to this community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.